You've reached the Monetization Matrix with me, your host, Christian Hansen, your expert with insights into payment and subscription strategies, where I discuss how to help you monetize your products and services for growth. Hello, this is Christian Hansen, and welcome to the Monetization Matrix, episode 6, where today we are going to be discussing payment and subscription metrics. We're going to talk about my 10 favorite monetization metrics, but I've added a couple extra bonus metrics out there, so let's get to it. Well, first of all, why are metrics so important? Well, if you can't measure your business, then what are you doing? You have to measure everything. That's my opinion. Measure, measure, measure. And if you don't have measurements, then you don't understand what's happening to your customers. You don't understand where you're losing things, where you could do better. So where should we begin? Let's look at some subscription metrics. Number one, subscribers. How many do you have? Is your business growing? Is it shrinking? What's the velocity of your business? I love looking at subscription numbers because it tells me a lot about how we are doing and where we are going. Churn rate, number two. Are people leaving your service, your product? Is it voluntary versus involuntary? Really, you want to break it all down wherever possible. Because again, if you don't understand where they're leaving or why they're leaving, then you will have a hard time figuring out how to make a better product or service. We've discussed churn rate in previous episodes, so we will not dive too deep into that at the moment. Retention, survivability. This is my third number that I think you should be thinking about. How long are your subscribers, your users, sticking around? When are they leaving after they sign up? Having a good grasp of how long customers are being retained in your service offering will give you a really good idea around where you could improve things, where people are finding value. So for instance, if someone signs up for a subscription service and they cancel it fairly quickly after signing up or after enrolling, is there some issue with how you are selling or positioning your product or service that is causing them to cancel quickly? Could you do a better job explaining through your marketing, through your wording, copy, banners, however it is that you're explaining, maybe you need videos, I don't know. But looking at your retention, understanding when they're leaving, how long it is that they're sticking around for, will help you to craft a better product and service for your customers. Metric number four for subscriptions. First pass success rate. Well, if you have a customer who is a subscriber and you are billing them yourselves versus if you are on a Apple or Google service, Roku, for instance, then you are going to be billing them. And if you are billing them, you'll want to know how many customers you're able to charge successfully on your first attempt. Now, this is a payment metrics that you should be concerned about, but it directly correlates to your subscription business. Because if you take, let's say, 100 customers and you go to charge them at the beginning of the month, and you can only get money from 60% of them, let's say, then that means 40% of your customers, or 40 out of that 100, are now in some form of suspension. You need to go try to get money from these 40% of customers who you did not get success from, which then can lead to some interesting analysis. Who are these 40 people who you couldn't charge? Is it based on some sort of information related to what they're paying with? Are they using debit cards, credit cards, digital wallets? Are they geolocated in certain vicinities? Are they in certain countries or areas where perhaps there might be some issues? Are there specific bank cards or things that are causing these particular customers to not be successfully charged? Maybe there's a problem with one of the banks that's causing certain cards to not be processed. So having access to first pass success information can be super helpful, so you can better understand your customers and where the fallout may be. Number five, recovery success. As a subscription business, you will want to see how many customers you can recover who are in some form of suspension. You combine your first pass success with your recovery success, and that gives you the total number of subscribers that you are successfully billing. So with recovery success, if we go back to my first pass success example, if 60% or 60 out of that 100 customers we were able to bill successfully and 40 of them went into suspension, how many of the 40 were you able to successfully recover? And this gets back to, what is your recovery process? Are you trying to charge these 40 customers who are in a suspended state multiple times, once, no times? Are you just letting all 40 people churn out? Or do you have a process in place to recover these customers so that they do not leave? Understanding how well you can recover becomes important, because whoever you cannot recover becomes churn. Now, churn, as stated earlier, could be voluntary or involuntary, but in this use case, the recovery success is directly correlated to your involuntary churn. A bonus subscription number I'll give you, because I was trying to keep this to 10 total monetization metric numbers, would be recovery timing. So when are you able to recover these customers who were in a suspended state? Is it quickly after the invoice date? Is it a week later, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month later? How long do you allow customers to be in a grace period where they can retain some aspect of your service while they are in a suspended state before you cancel their subscription? The recovery timing also is important, because if you have a Dunning/recovery process in place, you can fine tune your notifications, SMS, email, letters, if you're into sending letters via the postal service. You can see when these hit and the effect of them on your customers with regard to when they are recovered or when they are not recovered. Let's hop over to some payment metrics, which I think are important for your monetization strategy. First and foremost, What is your payment success rate? This is the total number of invoices or customers who you have attempted to charge. So you could look at this in terms of number of invoices created. And how many were you able to successfully collect payment from? If you start with 100 customers and you can only bill 95 of them, then your payment success rate is 95%. Which, if you think about that, that means 5% you could not charge. Therefore, 5% is your involuntary churn rate. Number two, authorization rate. When someone is attempting to purchase from you anything, really, you will have to create a token to charge that card. When you attempt to collect from that customer, that is more your auth capture, which we'll talk about next. But if you cannot authorize the card, you cannot charge the card. So in my opinion, authorization rate is really important. If someone goes into a hotel and they want to rent a room for the night, and they give a card and the card is cannot be authorized, $400 or $200 or whatever the incidentals are, then that hotel will not give a room to that customer for the evening because they could not authorize the card. They were not attempting to capture funds from the card necessarily. Sometimes they are. There's usually a hold. So maybe this isn't the best example. But you need to make sure that the card is not stolen, that the card is valid. So authorization rate is a prerequisite to the next important metric, your authorization capture rate, which is how often are you able to capture payment, very closely tied to your payment success rate. So when we attempt to authorize a card, it's basically saying, is this card real? When we auth capture, what we are saying is this card real and does it have money? So very important. If there is no money, there's no transaction, you do not pass go. Average order value, I look at this as an important payment metric. Isn't it important to understand how much your customers are spending? I think it is. So, is your average order value going up? Is it going down? This will let you understand customer behavior. It will also give you a better idea about how much revenue your company is producing. Refund rate. Are customers asking for their money back? This is payment metric number five. The refund rate is an interesting one because it is almost like a canary in the coal mine. Why is that? Well, if customers are requesting refunds, it means that they want their money back, which gets back to the root of what is it that you are selling? What is the perceived value? And it also is tightly correlated with what your refund policy may be. At one point, I worked at a company and we had a fairly blanket refund policy, which was if someone wanted a refund, we would give it to them. It didn't matter if we billed them 25 days ago, we would give them a full refund for the full month. So if you have a very lax refund policy, you could be leaving millions of dollars of revenue out there that if you had a tighter refund policy in place, you could be saving. So one of the companies I was working at, we implemented based on my recommendation. I'll pat myself on the back for this one. Hey, blanket refund policy, not a good idea. Let's do this on a week by week basis. If someone signed up, let's just not say signed up. If someone's recurring billing date is the first of the month and they call us within the first week, we will refund them the whole month. If they call us on week two, well, they had access to our service already for over 1 week. We will keep the first quarter of their payment. We'll refund three quarters. By the time someone calls in on week four, there's not much we can do. They had access to the service all month. We will, if they want, cancel them and not charge them for the next month. As you can see, this is kind of a time-based refund policy, not necessarily usage-based, but I like to think of it similar to HBO or cell phone bill. If you have HBO Max, Netflix, Disney, and you decide at some point during the month that you don't want it any longer and you didn't use it the last couple of months, that's great. Cancel. But Netflix, these streaming services, many others, they won't refund you for time that you had access to their service. They were providing that service to you. You chose not to use it. Just the same as a gym. If you have a gym membership and you pay for a month of gym membership and you decide that you don't want to go to the gym, it's not on the gym that you did not want to go to the gym. So they do not owe you a refund. So think about that as you're thinking through your refund policy and think about your refund rate. Number six in payments, chargebacks. Depending on your business model, you might get lots of chargebacks or very few. I hope you have very few. Chargebacks are a sign that your customers are not happy with you, or they are a sign that people are using stolen cards to purchase your service. It could also be a sign that fraud is rampant and you're not doing very much about it. Anyway, they all point towards a loss. Where is this loss? For one, each chargeback you receive is a penalty that you will be charged by your processor for that chargeback. Could be, it varies depending on who you are with, but could be a couple dollars, five, 10, 20. I've seen up to $25 for a chargeback. And that's just the fine of the chargeback. Then there is the loss of whatever it is that the customer charged back. So if you had a business that sold televisions and someone did a chargeback on a TV, you will be getting that fine, plus you will lose out on that TV, the cost of that TV that you sold to that customer, $500, $1,000, whatever. So having documentation is important to protect yourself, especially if you are in a card-not-present environment. But chargeback rates can also be nefarious because if you start to go over thresholds like Visa and MasterCard have, then you can get into this excessive chargeback merchant area, which you don't want to be in as a business, because it is signaling that a 1% of your customers or greater, give or take, are having trouble with your service. And therefore, Visa and MasterCard don't like that. Amex doesn't like it either, but they're closed loop. How do you fight chargebacks? Very different discussion, but at least this is giving you a very strong indicator that some things are wrong and you need to be more wary. Who are these customers? Why are they causing chargebacks? How is this affecting customer feedback? Where are these chargebacks coming from? Are there specific cards that are doing it? You can learn quite a lot by investigating these chargebacks. And if you get into a state where chargebacks are a real problem, then there are ways to mitigate. You can start looking at Ethoca, Verify, others, intercepting those chargebacks, auto refunding customers. Maybe start thinking that you might have too strict of a refund policy, which we were just talking about. So if customers aren't using your service and they don't like your service and they don't like your business and you're not giving them refunds, maybe they feel they have no choice except to issue a chargeback. I've never seen this charge. I don't know what this charge is. Nowadays, with the strength of the relationships that credit card companies have today with their users, they will side with the customer first and foremost. So that chargeback's coming your way. And you can fight them. Now you're going back and forth, filing paperwork. It's best just not to get chargebacks in the first place. Number seven. So now we're well beyond 10 monetization metrics if we're adding subs, subscription, and payment metrics. Number seven, customer lifetime value. When you put together your subscription metrics and your payment metric information together, you start to get a pretty detailed view of your customers. How much are they worth? How long do they stick around? If your customer is worth $10 a month, at least let's say that's what your service costs, and they stick around for 10 months, then 10 times 10, you get $100. That's your customer lifetime value. But obviously, as you start to get more and more subscribers, some will stay for 1 year, some will stay for a month, some will stay for a couple days, some might stay for 5 years. So understanding your customer lifetime value and whether or not it's going up or down, and looking for ways to influence that through engagement with your customers is a great way to better understand your business. There are additional KPIs that you will likely hear, which for the purposes of, you know, the big picture are important. What is your annual recurring revenue? What is your monthly recurring revenue? Well, all that is just taking what we just discussed and then breaking that up by month or by year. There are other areas which, frankly, I am unqualified to really discuss, like EBITDA. I don't know. I'm not a finance guy. I'm a payments and subscriptions person. So if you want to get into that layer and level of sophistication, there are probably some amazing podcasts out there that would love to discuss that, but that is not what we will talk about on the show. Anyway, in summation, there are some subscription and payment metrics, which I think are really important for you to understand how your business is doing, how your monetization strategy is performing. I'll rehash those. Subscription metrics that are super key are number of subs. Number two, churn rate. Number three, retention, survivability. Number four, first pass success rate. Number five, recovery success rate. Number six, bonus number. Recovery timing. Underpayments. Number one, your payment success rate. Number two, your auth rate. Number three, your auth capture. Number four, your average order value. Number five, your refund rate. Number six, chargeback rate. Number seven, customer lifetime value. And I hope these are helpful. There are obviously many other metrics out there, and you can take all of this data, all of these metrics I just talked about, and look at them over time. You can segment them. You can think about them from the perspective of users using credit cards versus debit cards versus digital wallets. You can look at them in terms of where the payments are or subscribers are coming from, what your channels are. You can look at them in a number of different ways to better understand where you are driving the most value. You can look at them through discount codes, through affiliates. Perhaps you have some great affiliates out there that are driving better subscriptions, better payment success. Maybe you have some really bad affiliates and bad partners who are driving poor success across many of these metrics. But if you start capturing these, if you start looking at them continuously and you compare them over time, I think you will be surprised at what you can learn about your business. Thank you for listening to the Monetization Matrix. Have a great day and talk to you soon.
Remember to hit that subscribe button and tell all your nerdy friends.